A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Things off,
yes, ooh. Yes,
big man.
Yo,
whoop that trick!
What?
Whoop that trick!
Yeah,
whoop that trick!
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like it. Yeet, yeet.
Oh, yeet.
I need translation on mic one and two.
Do you feel me? Do you feel me? Do you feel him, sir?
A drink on the coach or something?
Do I? Can I? Welcome to. And that's why we're messed up.
Yeah.
The podcast talking about nerdery, geekism.
I like it.
Or else in between.
I love it.
From a post, a South London postcode.
Yeet! Okay, I'm done.
One of your hosts, Shadows. Next to me is the instant, yeah?
Yeet!
And on the other side of me is big man Booker Red.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on? What is going? I'm out the loop. I'm observing from a hill far away. What is going on, please? Oh God.
It's a hard one, but this is a hard one. In fact, you know what? It's a hard, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it the best way we can.
Are we talking about what I think we're talking about?
To start with, yes. I want to address
I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's big man, it's your turn.
Thank you. Now, good evening, or good morning, good afternoon, where we are around the world. This is Big Man, co-hosting this brilliant show, as we always do. It's been a while since we did a wrestling episode, and a few people has reached out to me and asked me what's my feelings, my views about the current state of the whole pro wrestling world. It's been a while since we last done this, and there's been a hell of a lot that's gone down, but I'm going to start with probably the hardest and most, what's the word, emotional one first. So, on the 24th of August, I was asleep. Around about approaching 11:30, my phone went off. Now, no offense, I have some debatable friends in my life, and I can admit that. And when I mean debatable, idiots. And that's me being nice. Now, if my phone's ringing at that time, it best be for an important reason. And to be fair, phone rang, I just turned the other way. Then it went off again. And I thought, okay, something's up. And I've seen a message appear saying you need to check Twitter. Or X, as it were. And I saw it. And I saw an announcement from Triple H on his official WWE website saying Wyndham Lawrence Rotunda, which is known as Bray Wyatt, sadly passed away. Now, anyone who's known me for years know I'm one of the, I wouldn't say biggest Bray Wyatt fans, but I adored the man's work. For everything he did from the old school NXT days, and basically the evolving, revolving door of his character, Bray Wyatt. Now, I can admit it shocked me because, just like many people at the time, they heard he was on the road to recovery. He was doing well. I mean, to be fair, they never discussed what's actually wrong with him, with all these rumors saying heart issues, COVID and whatnot. Anyway, the last thing everyone knew that, and it was a rumor that he'd given it all clear, he was ready to return to the ring, and allegedly he was going to work a program with Cody Rhodes. Right. Would have been, but unfortunately, that wasn't the truth. He complained earlier on in the day, he didn't feel too well, went to sleep, and apparently turned blue. And yeah, it was too late when they tried to revive him. Very few wrestlers, when they pass in the ring, leave, makes you feel like you knew them. Now, with Bray, he was one of the very few people, which unfortunately I never actually got to saw live. But when the birth of the character The Fiend was first shown, was actually in the UK on an episode of Raw, and I was actually at that episode. And I remember the reaction when you saw this horrendous looking character appear on screen. Yeah. It was a holy shit, Sean, that just erupted in the arena. And I thought, okay, you've got me. I'm locked in with this character. I mean, hell, I was locked in from the minute you turned up after the Wyatt family. That one of my all-time favorite entities, and always will be. And as you can contest this, I will never forget, and bro, you can back me up on this, when I showed this, or shall I say we showed this, the Wyatt family versus the New Day.
Well, look, at the Wyatt compound.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you want to see...
That was a day of first. That was a Saturday where I saw a lot of things. In fact, we went through history of traumatic things.
Yes, we did.
And it got more and more traumatic where it's like, I'm sorry, we're watching what now? what are we doing now?
Yeah, from then, that's the start. And, you know, when you go through the work the man has done, and now this is how, I mean, everything I say about life goes full circle. Because when everyone was on this whole Roman Reigns thing, before the tribal chief,
head of the table.
Before that, everyone was on, oh, Roman Reigns and the Shield, he's broken out. There was one man who said these words. Anyone but Roman. And that was my phrase for me, 2.5-3 years.
That was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I remember you were literally like, I was like, wow, okay.
That's what it was. And it was so simple but effective. Anyone but Roman. And when you think about the work the man has done in the ring, I mean, very few people can say they've had, right, let's see, does anyone even remember the promo he did with the choir for he has the whole world in his hands?
Oh, was that a John Cena feud? No, it was John Cena feud, yeah.
That, for me, was one of the most memorable promos because it was something just airy to it. And that just shows the creative side of Bray. Everything the man touched, in the ring, was gold. I mean, granted, WWE didn't know how to book him. I mean, him losing to Goldberg, till this day, winds me up. But you know what?
That's one of the big mistakes they made. They should not put a title on him.
Yeah, but it's Bill Goldberg, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If he didn't have the title, he wouldn't have been compromised. But
definitely not.
But because he was so popular, they thought, yeah, we've got to put a title on him. And then, whatever.
Yeah, and all the couple of weeks later, he lost it again. And you know what they said? I know there's so many what's the technical term? I think catchphrases where people say, "I know in death you see how great someone is." With him, everything he did, I mean, hell, when he worked with Randy Orton, when he worked with Matt Hardy, I mean, we even saw Brother Nero and Bray Wyatt together. You didn't think you'll never see that at the Hardy compound. Mm. We never thought we'll see stuff like this. And You know what I mean? Even the stuff that he did when he bought The Fiend and he had the TV show and he bought Alexa Bliss, easily WWE's version of the Joker and Harley Quinn. It was working brilliantly. But what did WWE do? Oh no, we got rid of you due to budget cuts. Really?
Because I said before, and I say it again, we can't have nice things. That's the rule.
Exactly. That is the rule. We can't have nice things. And, you know what I mean? I've been watching wrestling long enough that I've seen Raw episodes, well, tribute episodes straight after. I mean, sorry, taboo subject. I've seen the Benoit episode, sort of Owen Hart episode. Oh. I've seen the Eddie Guerrero episodes. Oh. All of those were, but even the 9/11 post episodes of SmackDown. Those were very tough to watch because you didn't see the superstars were in tears. They didn't know how to even handle it. The way WWE handled this tribute episode of SmackDown is probably one of their best ones.
I agree.
It was done with class. Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, to be fair, it threw me because the standard, you have like the 10 ring salute, the program starts, and they have like their greatest hits throughout. But what WWE did is very cleverly. When Bray made his comeback the last time with Uncle Howdy, he had little like advertisements that, and you see like little flashes when you're watching a program of images of him. You're thinking, did I just see that? Or like with my like mind playing tricks on me? And they did that throughout the episode.
Mm.
Last thing they did, they had this silhouette hologram of Bray standing in the middle of the ring and the rocking chair rocking back and forth with the fireflies. It was beautiful.
Mm.
Absolutely beautiful. And it brought tears to everyone. I mean, I was even speaking to Stu from the Turnbuckle Top podcast. Sorry, guys. I have to send you a shout-out, as always.
Yeah, shout-out to Top Turnbuckle Podcast every time.
All the time. And he said this death felt hit everyone because it didn't feel like you just lost a random man. It felt like you lost someone you actually knew.
Mm.
Because even at the Comic-Con he was, I think a year ago, a year and a half ago, was that? And he was signing stuff for people. I saw this clip. And then he was saying he was just grateful, you know. He says, it felt hard to lose something that you love, but given an opportunity to do it again and to enter, and more importantly, to entertain you, the people. You are the people that spend hard-earned money to see us. Mm. So this is a way of saying thank you. I mean, the man was a dork. I've seen clips of him and his children, and him signing stuff with children. And I just look at that and I thought, you know what? Life is too short. Life is too short for dramas, for issues, for having ongoing issues with someone over stupidity. We don't say thank you enough and make time for people that we should. And if one thing I've learned from Bray's death, I'll stop calling by his real name, by his death, is, you know what? Leave drama shit in the past. Life is too short. I don't want to be 20 years from now and be rocking up in the chair and still cussing about shit that happened 30 years ago. I'm not showing any names, Bret Hart. But yeah, I'm not doing...
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Big Man. I'm going to stop you. Right? Because this happened when Kobe died. Do you remember when Kobe Bryant died in that horrible accident of his child? And you sent that really nice message. I mean, like, we need to come together. I mean, brother, like, he can't tell us what to do. Yeah, go away. Like,
grass, man.
You're no boss of me. Yeah. And he just said, I'm not going to hold a grudge. Except, I decided, of course, it's an exception.
I'm going to hold a grudge for whatever the fuck I want. I can make my choices if I want to. If I hate you, I hate you. Get over it.
You're boss of me. You're not telling me what to do. I'm going to hold a grudge.
I'm sorry, right? I feel like in a bizarre way, I'm jinxed in a way. And the reason why I say this, right? Every time I bought a WWE 2K game, coincidentally, a superstar's pass, when I want to play it. So if we go back to the NWO special edition that came out a few years ago, I wanted to play Scott Hall. Scott Hall passed.
Maybe you should stop. Maybe you should play the game.
But yeah. Well,
thank you. I was going to say.
Yeah, because if there's a special edition of The Rock next year, I'm saying don't buy it, Big Man. Please don't.
But this one gets me the worst, right? Because when the recent 2K came out, Bray wasn't available until August.
Less than
3 weeks after he made available to play, I'm like,
wow.
Bruv, you're right. Big Man's the indicator here.
Yeah, but so... maybe you shouldn't buy it next year, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, how about you can play it through me. Basically, I'll buy it, and you and we can do like the whole game transfer thing where you can actually play it through me, like, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I think that's safer.
I think that's safer.
But you know what? The only thing which I give, no WWE or do anything that any sales from memorabilia, Funko Pops, memorabilia, tops, whatever, it's going directly to the family. I know Chris Jericho and co have donated a ridiculous amount of money to them. And yeah, they've been looked after. I actually saw a picture this morning of Bo, his brother, looking after the children. And it's just, I'm just looking at Bray in the picture all over again. It's sad, but you know, it brings family together as well. So, no doubt from all of us here, Bray, we salute you and rest in peace.
Amen. Yeah.
But now.
Wow, that's a great transition. Didn't even give us a minute. You could have eased us in. All right. After that song, but not only, we're gonna move on. Yeah. That's like, you know, you could, thank you. Jesus Christ,
didn't man. Didn't even get to do like a little like rendition of Gangsta Lean or something.
Jesus Christ, man.
Didn't get to sing a song or like, you know, do a little keys of "See You Again" or something.
See, no, one thing I gotta say, the video package they did for him was so good.
Yeah,
because like when WWE do a video package, they do a video package, and like they always get the right song for the right moment. So like it's a song, thing from a band called Need to Breathe, and the song's called Ever Known, and I was just and it just hit different. Like I had to buy the song straight away after hearing it. So actually, I was listening to it on the way home today, actually thinking the irony of that. But great song.
Okay. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the description for today. And now you were saying, as we do a segue into your next floor, big man, rather than the... Yeah. Anyway, you were saying...
A lot has happened since we've last done a wrestling podcast, but there is so much, we're going to go through it in record-breaking time. So I have to address the massive elephant in the room here.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Iron Claw trailer that dropped yesterday that looks pretty good. Looks really good.
No, that's not the infinite room. That's some positivity in the room. We're talking about something else. And I got a feeling. I wonder who you're talking about.
Go on then.
Is it some kind of chick magnet?
Oh no. What's the elephant in the room?
Is his real name Philip? Mr. Brooks.
Yep. The only guy... Now, this actually bugs me because, like many of people in the UK, they had a ticket to go to AEW. Unfortunately, on the evening event, I became ill and couldn't make it. Now, if I would have known in advance that would have been Phil's last appearance, I would have dragged my ass and gone to see that. Because who would have thought roughing up your manager would have got you fired?
I would.
Sorry, what?
I would. Who would have thought? I've heard it personally, and I've heard many stories. So you know, like, yeah, it's a no-no in many like professional and just life circles. Just
they tend to frown upon such a thing.
But whatever, like,
go on, bruv. Go on, bruv.
What do I need to say? Okay, all right.
How about for those who don't know what we're talking about, maybe we can update.
The fact is, before I say anything, before I make some statements, I've never wrestled in my entire life. I've been a fan for years since I was a kid. Does that mean I have an opinion? Yes, but does that mean my opinion is law or fact or anything? No, it's just my opinion. Shut up, Chantel. It's just my opinion, and it doesn't, at the end of the day, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Saying that, I personally do not like CM Punk. I think he's a good wrestler. He's a great talker, but there's believing your own hype too much. One of his segments is the greatest in the world. He's not. He's average.
Okay.
But again, I'm talking from I'm talking from a fan's point of view. I've never wrestled. So when I say he's average, what does that mean for me? I can't really say much because I've never taken a bump. I've never jumped off the top of a rope. I've never taken a hit from a wrestler. I've taken hits from people in real life because I've done mixed martial arts and shit like that. But I have never taken a wrestling bump. So why do I... what I say means nothing. But from the people I've watched wrestle over years... I can tell you who's a good wrestler. I can say in my opinion, he's a good wrestler. He's a bad wrestler. CM Punk is not a bad wrestler. I think he's average. Has some good matches. Has some good moves. But I feel like there are wrestlers that are better than him, like Daniel Bryan, Ricochet, Aleister Black. That's just off the top of my head. Those wrestlers I feel like are better than him. But he has all the elements to make a good wrestler. That's why he's so popular. That's why he's a big deal. Now, the problem with CM Punk is that he believes in his own hype to the point he refers to himself as like a locker room leader. I remember hearing a story where he, like when he was still in WWE, where he claimed to be like, there was this big meeting and he literally stood up and said, as the locker room leader, you guys need to start clean up your shit. Booker T got up, laughed, dropped something. She was like, yeah, make me pick that up right now. Make me pick that up. And had nothing, walked away. Like, he was like, the audacity of this child to come into our locker room and say he's the locker room leader. Nah. That's not how it works.
Mark's dressing room?
Technically, he was still about, so technically he was...
In Mark's dressing room?
But the whole point, CM Punk was a part of AEW, and there's been nothing but controversy since he's come due to the fact of certain things that happened behind the scenes. First one, there was the all-out brawl where he got into dispute with the VPs because he had to share his opinions live on TV about how he felt about the VPs of the company, how they don't know what they're doing, effing and blinding about certain people. And it's just like, one next to the owner who was doing fuck all. I'll get to him in a second. And basically just making a mockery of technically of the company that he's representing and the people that he works and his colleagues that he works with. They had this turned into a fight in the locker room where the VPs confronted him, and people were bitten, blows were thrown, a dog got kicked in the face. It all went crazy. Everyone involved was suspended, and it was old news. Then they create a new AEW show, Collision, basically for CM Punk. There's no ifs or buts. It was made for CM Punk. So basically, this show would have all the people who are problematic to the brand, basically.
And rewarded somebody who, let's say it again, kicked a dog.
No. Time out. CM Punk didn't kick a dog. That was his dog. It was CM Punk's dog. The other person, I think it was, I don't know which one did it. It was one of the Young Bucks who kicked the dog in the face. So it was CM Punk's dog. It wasn't CM Punk. CM Punk did not kick his dog in the face.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jason. Yeah. Just messaged me. I did not mean to say that he did it. That was a miscommunication. Jason, stand down. It's all good.
There we go.
I stand corrected and sorry, but I just want to say the word brawl, and bruv, you then said people got bitten.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Kenny Omega got bitten by one of CM Punk's friends.
Chase, wasn't it? Yeah.
So,
and then they rewarded him by giving him a show.
Basically, it was kind of like, it was pretty much his show, like he had like creative control over the show, and it was basically his show. And so, the second incident happened at the All In. It was All In.
Yeah.
Why is it always the All In shows? What the hell?
Yeah, you feel like
there. Is it going All In?
So basically, before the bigger show in England or London, even, there was a bit of a disagreement between CM Punk and a wrestler called Jack Perry, who is the son of the late Luke Perry.
Luke Perry.
So there was what's called a spot. So basically, a spot is like a big little thing that wrestlers do during a match. So a spot involved Jack going through a car front window.
It was a spot. The windshield.
Yeah, windshield. Thank you. And Punk was like, "No, it's too dangerous. You shouldn't be doing that." Blah 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 blah. And like, in all fairness, he's not wrong. But at the same time, it's, you know, wrestlers have done, like, considering AEW in the past, they've done a lot worse. They've had barbed wire explosions, exploding mats. So, you know, like, they've done a lot worse. So, you know, it was kind of like a bit of a, okay, whatever, Dad, calm down, blah, blah, blah. So, All In comes along and Jack's got a match and the spot is being done there. So what Jack does, he hits the window, looks in the camera and says, "Real glass, cry me a river." Now, everyone who's watching the match and who knows wrestling knows, like, that was directed at CM Punk. Now, here's where I have a problem with this. So after the All Out Brawl and after the people and the multiple people that CM Punk has either disagrees with or doesn't like or whatever, and he came back after, he would take cheap shots at them, like you would make like snide comments, passive aggressive comments, like while on the mic on live on TV, point aim, not outright saying, but basically everyone who's in knows who he's referring to. He's either talking about the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or Adam Page, and you know he's blatantly just doing that shit like on a regular. No one's gonna call him out on it because you know he's CM Punk. Jack basically did what CM Punk's been doing since coming back. Match is over. There's a bump between them two, between CM Punk and Jack Perry, and then a fight breaks out. From what I've heard, the fight broke out near the owner, Tony Khan, and then other people got involved. It got sketchy. I was like, okay. So, and then there was obviously the suspensions were thrown out and Jack still suspended and CM Punk ended up getting fired.
Just a quick side note. Did you actually see the pictures that when he came to England, he was supposed to have like a limousine pick him up? Yeah. No limousine arrived.
I heard about this. We talked about this.
And I'm like, oh, so the guy was pissed on the way to the pay-per-view to work. So let's just have that in the back of our head. So the guy's already wound up really. He had to make his own way from America to London for a show. But continue, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that aside, going, like I said, like, again, I'll get to Tony Khan in a second then. But, but like, how are you going to get bitchy about some making a passive aggressive pass at you when you're doing that, when you've done it for most of your career, and you're still doing it to this day?
Exactly.
Like, grow fucking spine. It's like, well, you can't do that to me. I'm CM Punk. No. Get over yourself. Grow up. Like, if it's not the same business you're both in, then what the hell are you both doing?
Kind of thing. People got the right to reply. Like, exactly. You can't put shit out there. They have the right to say, "Excuse me, I'd like to have a word back. Allow me to retort."
Like, what kind of gets me about this is like, Tony Khan. I don't know what goes into running a business, so I don't really have a right to say, but from what I'm seeing, I've got to say, I'm kind of seeing like the beginning of a new McMahon.
See more WWE, where Eazy-E, Bischoff and all them man basically was running the show week in, week out. It wasn't him anymore. And that's the thing, there's a fine line between being a mate and then being a manager. Tony Khan is a mate more than a manager. I remember, whose wedding was it? Sammy
Guevara's, yeah.
Saw a video of him and Tony Khan freestyling. And I thought, what the hell am I seeing? This is your manager. You're freestyling with him.
See, but the thing is, though, Vince, back in the day, did the same thing. He'll go out with the boys and go out for drinks and shit. I mean, like, there's a story of him basically taking them in a club or a bar. Apparently, Vince took the Legion of Doom's fucking finishing move.
You put man on the shoulders and that one.
Yeah, he took it in the middle of a fucking bar. Basically, like, he was like, go on, give me it. He was like, okay. And they gave it to him right there in the bar. Like, he did, he did all the same things that kind of Vince did in the heyday. I mean, as Vince has gone old, he doesn't really do that shit anymore. Obviously, still got... But, like, the only time I will say, really, he's gone down a path of, like, not bad management, but just making poor choices. It's like...
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that level yet. Like, people were criticizing him for, like, so, like, when John Moxley had his match with Phoenix,
and
he got injured, and like, people were casting out, why didn't he go with Moxley to the fucking hospital, blah blah blah. Like, he should have been there. Vince would have done that. Yeah, for the Undertaker. He would have done that. But then, you got to remember, I always say to people, Vince would have done it for the Undertaker, but then Vince is still the same man that when Owen Hart fell to his death, he carried on the show and made the wrestlers play in the fucking ring where he just died. Like, if you watch back that show, you can see wrestlers looking at the stain of blood, the blood stain that was left by him in the ring. Like, look at the Undertaker match when you see that show. Look at his face. Like, he's looking at it and he's fucking emotional, trying to hide it, be the Undertaker, but at the same time, yeah. So, like, you can call, like, again, you can, like, because there's a video of him, like, on that show where, like, when John Moxley was gone to hospital, he was dancing with whoever after the show. And it's like, what? No offense, but, like, considering how hard these wrestlers go and they get injured quite regularly, you know, unless it's like a death sentence, why is he going? Unless he has a relationship that that Vince and Undertaker have, then yeah, I get it. But he didn't have that relationship with Moxley, not to my knowledge. Like, Moxley keeps himself to himself. He don't care about, like, you know. It's like,
You know what? Sorry to interject, but I kind of take a little bit of, like, what's the word? Like, with you and Big Man, you have been observing and, like, you've been fans and, you know, gone from fans to knowing, like, kayfabe, how this works, what have you. I feel like there's so much out there. And I feel like, yes, it is different running a business and what have you. However, we are in a position where we have seen a lot. We have heard testimony. We've seen stuff. We've seen the heartaches. We've seen, you know, writers. We've heard a lot of the moving parts of it. So the things that I've listened to you guys say to me does indicate that you know what you're talking about. Does indicate that if given the opportunity, you would do a good job because of the thing of what you want from it. And the truth is, when you've made predictions and said things like, if they follow this thing, this will be the outcome. I've seen it happen. So I do think that you are in a stronger position. I understand, you know, those people who say things like, we have opinions online and don't create nothing. Every one of us on this podcast creates something in some way, shape or form. I do stuff that I'm not fully ready to put out there, but I will, and I do create. Brother, you do with YouTube, what have you. I've done stuff with you, Big Man, too. We all do stuff, and we all are creative. We all put ourselves out there, so we know what's on the line, and we know what it feels like to have our stuff critiqued. We've done this podcast for, like, we're on our fourth season now. We're open to critique about it. We'll take it on board or what have you. We've had some ups and downs of it. So, on a level, bruv, I do think you are confidently in a position to say, this is what does not work. This is what works. If you're going to watch someone who's going to watch Vince McMahon and say, I want to do that exactly, dude, come on. Wasn't the whole point of AEW so it was not WWE?
Yeah. And that's
wasn't
the
that
thing.
The point of
it? Yeah, and that's the thing. When AEW started, it was fresh, it was fun. And
you guys were excited. I remember. You guys were really excited.
The first show and seeing Cody and the Bucks, and it was just fresh, and it was the kick up the ass that WWE needed. But now it's like I'm watching, I'm thinking, I'm just watching a WCW reject. But in a bizarre kind of a segue, it kind of leads me to the next thing I needed to ask. Now, this is a very straightforward question, and I think I know what Bro's going to say, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Who is your favourite heel / villain of the year so far?
Rob Reigns, really.
Okay, so no one can top Reigns for you.
What, villain-wise? Let's see, well, Judgment Day, Rhea, she's fucking, like, you know, there's her. Rhea Ripley's been fucking killing it, it's like, especially recently.
She's only turned 27 as well. Fucking damn.
Shut up.
Oh my God, I just want to tell you, the other day, I was at work in another building in another part of the country, and I had to do a double take because one of the guys in the office looked like one of the Usos. But it would have looked weird if I took a picture, but he really does. It was scary. It was like I was staring. I was like, I'm uncomfortable staring. But dude, if we just dyed your hair, you would look exactly
like.
Sorry, that's my quick story. I was shook. I was like, what the? I was staring. Like he noticed. I was like, oh no.
But then but back to your question. To be fair, she. Dominic Mysterio technically is like he's still getting like the best reactions, you know, like he can barely talk.
Now I thought of this the other day because don't get me wrong, Reigns has been on top, right? Don't get me wrong, I think the bloodline story has faded a little, but it's going to pick up with War Games around the corner. But I have to give credit where credit's due. One person has gone on under radar for the last couple months, and over the last 3 months has gone to a level which, to be honest, I didn't think he had in him. And it goes to the point, every time this man is about to say something, I'm worried of what he's going to come out with. Who am I talking about? And it's kind of sent it into the last thing that we spoke about. If I said to you, sis, right, now, as we always insulted one another, but if I said something to you like, you looked at me like a father figure.
Oh, my boy. Mr. Cage.
Yes. But I don't want to be your father. Because you already had a father. But your father's dead. What? Now, that's fucking
ow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's got Christian Cage, like, has got a fetish right now for people who either recently lost dads or don't have dads.
Oh.
Like, you so okay. Bad.
Right. I guess it's I guess a certain person's son should definitely not be wrestling right now, then.
You got to narrow it down, which one?
Yeah, little Benoit should stay
out. Like the amount of memes I've been seeing about Benoit Jr., it's like, it's actually quite funny. Especially with Christian Cage as well. It's actually, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The last few months, this man has no filter on what he's coming out with. I mean, when he first got the Jack Perry line about, I don't want to be your father, but you had a father, your father's dead. I looked up at the screen and I thought, fuck, I said, what? That's my first reaction. But what? I didn't, who would have.
That's only worse if he came out looking like Luke Perry in 90210.
No, like, I gotta say, like, because obviously, your boy Adams has gone to AEW.
Yeah.
And, just like, so right now, obviously he's coming as a face, and obviously Christian, who's like his best friend in real life, they got into the business together, they've been tag partners for years, they're probably still one of the best tag teams ever. Yeah. And he basically called out Christian, gave this big heartfelt speech, you know, like talking about how he wants to end his career with him and Christian doing one last tag run. You know, it was like a really. Oh, bloody hell, hug the man kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they are hugged. And all I thought, because Christian had a microphone in his hand. So all I thought he was going to put the mic to his mouth and say, no. That's all I thought he was going to say. Mm-hmm. This is what he said. Go fuck yourself. Unedited.
Yeah.
Like, literally, no beep. Go fuck yourself. And just dropped the mics and walked away. I was like, to the point, like, Edge was like, holy shit, did you say, like, he had a look like, is he allowed to say that? can we do that? Is that a thing we can do now? And yeah, everyone was just like, wow.
I mean, that was an intro. Thank you for sharing. That was an introduction. I may have enjoyed that several times.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, it was inevitable he was going to leave. After the last match he had with Sheamus, which, on a side note, his contract is apparently expiring in January.
So Sheamus?
Yeah.
He's not leaving.
I think, you know what? There's a lot of people's contracts running out at the start of 2024.
Yeah, I don't think Sheamus is leaving. He's too WWE.
We said that about Adam, and look what happened. But
yeah, but the thing is, he didn't come. He let it happen.
Yeah.
In what sense?
As in, he let it expire. He didn't work for another deal.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
But like Sheamus, I don't see Sheamus leaving anytime soon. Because like right now he's too popular, and he's been having too many good matches.
To be fair, the threat with him, Gunther, and McIntyre, one of my matches of the year.
Mm. Like because right now, since last year, he's had like a proper huge resurgence. So,
yeah.
And he's a WWE guy. So unless they do him really dirty, I don't see him leaving.
But yeah, Christian Cage's work. When I thought this man couldn't get any lower, I mean, the insult to Adam was something. But it was the pre-show for Wrestle Dream. I don't know if you saw that, bro. Where it was. They're having a little memorial for someone in the New Japan wrestling industry that passed away. And this is a legit memorial they're having. Celebrating man's life and giving him the salute and whatnot. And for some unknown reason, they cut to this clip of Christian watching the ceremony. So straight away, I thought, oh, God. Yeah, you know. Straight away,
oh,
I thought.
Oh, no.
No. That's the only thing I thought was, please, no. So Christian had a match and whatever, and then just like everyone, which is the new in thing, they have the press conference, the media scrub after the event. So Christian's now turned up. Tony Khan's sitting down, as always.
Oh,
and he said, Christian, I saw you watching the memorial service on the pre-show. Why were you doing that? And I'm about to quote Christian's words. Well, someone's father died tonight.
Oh, wow.
And he just pulls up a chair. He goes, I lost a great man. I lost my granddad. Now, I'm sorry. When he said that, I wanted to cry with laughter. And I thought, I can't laugh. He is cold, right? I mean, let me put it this way. This man at some point has to become AEW champion, in my eye, because it'll be stupid that if he doesn't get it. He's probably right now, for years, has always been Edge top, Christian bottom. They've never been on a level playing field. This is the level playing field now. It's the level playing field. It will easily get better, this storyline, because they will drag this for quite some time.
One thing I want to say before I actually say what we'll say, the thing I want to bring up anyway, when it comes to wrestling as a whole, I'm a wrestling fan. I don't really prefer one brand to the other. I just love wrestling. All I want from my wrestling is good wrestling, good storylines, and great matches. That's all I want. And so, like, I'm not about this tribal bullshit. Like, WWE's better or AEW's better, but I'll call both shows out if they're bullshit. If there's bullshit, I'll go and call it out just for the record. So I don't want you to think that this is tribalism, that I'm a WWE fan by all the way. I'm a fan of the wrestlers and the wrestling.
No, you love a good show.
Exactly. But one thing I want to bring up, I don't know if you're going to bring this up anyway, big man, but Trick Williams.
How you said that last time, and I thought you said Treat Williams. I was like, Treat Williams is wrestling?
NXT, which is the developmental brand for WWE, there was a duo of a guy called Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Trick Williams was like his right hand man. Carmelo Hayes is like one of the top dogs in NXT. He was NXT champion for quite a while, but now he's not recently. And then those two recently separated, and Trick is just blown up, and I genuinely just think it's thanks to Booker T.
Oh yeah, the hype man introduction.
Yeah, because like I don't know if he sent you the video of this, but like it's obviously Trick comes out to this like this really good like hip hop beat. So you got boom, 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 and then you got like and you got the crowd just going whoop that Trick, whoop.
Yeah,
that. and in between that you got Booker T go yeah, uh huh, I like it. What? Yeah, baby. Like, literally, he's, I think, because, like, realistically, Trick came from Booker T's school, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, right, and Booker T has, like, has his own wrestling show on the side called Reality of Wrestling. Like, for those who want to embrace black wrestlers, we want to see more black wrestlers, Reality of Wrestling is a good show for that. Like people like Ember Moon, aka Athena, came from Reality of Wrestling. Trick Williams, one of the many Usos is in one of those shows where he recently made a debut. Umaga, there's a wrestler called Umaga who passed away a while back. His son's in that show as well. He made his debut there. Roxanne Perez, who was a former NXT champion, she was from Reality of Wrestling. So if you want a bit more multicultural wrestling, American wise, Reality of Wrestling, check it out. Their shows are pretty decent as well. So there you go. Some education for ya. But yeah, Trick Williams has just blown up, and I got it. It's just his entrance.
Yeah,
and it's simple as fuck. He doesn't do anything special. He just walks out looking like a bad man, and people shine. Whoop that Trick from Hustle and Flow, basically. Because like it's funny because like I can't remember. It's like one of the big wrestling pundits was asking why are they saying that. It's so violent. Blah blah blah. And people are like, It's from our culture, man. Watch more black things, man. You'll know what it's talking about. But like
even the Booker T hype is basically like old school, like Biggie Puffy.
Yeah. I like it.
Bad boy. It's like that.
Yeah, basically it was.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But no, Trick is just doing madness right now. I mean, it's inevitable. Him versus Carmelo will happen. It probably happened at WrestleMania Takeover prior. But right now, NXT's hot. AEW's doing its thing. But there's another thing I have to address. Now, Saturday just gone, we had the annual WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. Fine hit. The pay-per-view Saturday, Fastlane.
Yeah.
I said, usually we'll run through the matches, but we ain't doing that. I need to talk about the Beavis and Butthead, what I couldn't believe I witnessed, which was Cody Rhodes and Mr. Jey Uso.
Oh, hey!
Now, I've seen some live press conferences here when I thought, what the hell's going on? Mm-hmm. When a man comes in, smiling to himself, walking left, looking right, for no reason, I thought, what the hell's going on here? I don't know what they were smoking or what they were drinking.
They're drinking, man. They're having a good time. They won a championship, man. They're celebrate. Yeah.
But 15 minutes of comedy classic of how not to present yourself. Cody looking red as hell, yeah, and can't get his words out. Jey barking, yeah. At one point, no, Jimmy, sorry. No, it was Jey, innit?
No, no. Jey went yeet. Cody came in a ho. That was Cody. Cody was a ho. But it's done nothing but good for them, because at the end of the day, now they're even more over. Like, the crowd's saying yeet and over and like, every time they come into the that's gonna get old very soon. But like, the crowds are but like, thing like shit like that is, when you see shit like that, when you genuinely see, because at the end of the day, granted, they were drunk. I mean, considering that Jey and Jimmy, I had like DUIs a few times, which is kind of untasteful, but it showed a lighter side to them because they were genuinely having fun.
Fun, yeah, yeah.
And like, yeah. Again, like, especially you want your champions, you want your faces to be relatable. You want to like it. You want to smile. Granted, it was foolishness, but even Triple H came out afterwards. Like, I didn't want to follow that. Jesus Christ, did you see that?
That was it was just the barking and the clapping of them laughing like school kids.
No, see, the part always got me good when Jey went, "Do you feel me?" Craig goes, "Did you feel him? Do you feel him, sir? Do you feel him?" Okay, good. Just crazy. No, I love it. I love that shit. I love it just reminds me of when Sammy kept making him break character. It was great.
Yeah.
I love seeing real shit like that. It just makes it more enjoyable, because like, that's when you see the wrestlers having fun, and when they're having fun,
that means
you can enjoy it even more. And Morgan,
awesome fun.
And yeah. Morgan
not
news, actually.
Plane ride from hell fun.
Yeah. No, exactly. Them being themselves.
Yeah, and Morgan news, actually. Apparently, rumor has it that Vince is completely out of creative.
Yeah, he's done.
Oh, happy day.
Complete
journey.
Yeah, since the merger with the UFC, they basically have, like, the higher ups in the TKO now, I think the company's called, have basically seen, like, okay, whatever you guys are doing, keep doing that. If it means keeping him out, then keep him out. And like, because with all the productivity of the matches, the storyline, they've been going, it's been a lot more positive and a lot better content for the show. And this is thanks to Vince not being there.
Because Vince and creative, the two things you don't want to go together, like shit and sandwich.
But on a side note as well, since we're talking about records, and we're talking about Roman's complete dominating run, credit where credit's due. Have you seen Gunther's record?
What is it now? It's actually been a honky tonk, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been a honky tonk. And imagine this for a statistic. He has defended the IC title more times than Roman has the heavyweight championship.
Bloody, that's bad for Roman, but that's really good for Gunther. Considering that Gunther's been main roster a lot shorter time than fucking Roman Reigns. That's wow. But that's good. Like, Gunther deserves it, man. Gunther's like, he's...
Right now, to be fair, don't get me wrong, if we're talking about Mania next, well, not even Mania, Royal Rumble, it has to be either Cody or Gunther has to win it.
Cody shouldn't win it.
I've heard you say this before.
Cody shouldn't, like...
Why shouldn't Cody win it?
Because winning winning it twice in a row is dangerous because Roman's done that, and that hindered him a lot. The crowd turned against him because they had favorites who they wanted to win, and obviously he wasn't the favorite. I don't want, like, you shouldn't win, like, you shouldn't win it twice in a row. You can get close, but don't win it. Like, give us, like, I feel like if like, for example, if it's like he won this year, then lost next year, then won the following year, okay, cool. Give us a break. Because right now, I don't think he doesn't need it. Like, he's super over. Currently, maybe tag champion, but he's still a champion at the end of the day. Mm. And like, it's, yeah, like, nah, I don't think he doesn't need the Rumble. Because, like, I'm telling you, I don't, like, he can get to Roman off some other way. Like,
what, Elimination Chamber? Ooh. Actually, no, that's
in Australia. Yeah, that's in Australia. And to be fair, no, you don't even need to do, like, you can literally just do a feud. Like literally, like, you can, like, obviously the story is him and versus Roman. So you don't have to use Royal Rumble to get to that. You can get to them anyway. Like, come on, you've done more, like, crying, like, look at The Rock and Stone Cold 17, WrestleMania 17. Like,
yeah.
The Rock, and it got, which is, well, to be fair, Stone Cold did win the bloody...
multiple Rumbles to get to that.
Yeah. But then saying that at the time, The Rock wasn't champion. He beat Kurt Angle at No Mercy.
Mm.
Or No Way Out, or one of them. So yeah. It, like, you,
some 80s movie title.
but yeah, like, if anything, I would say if you can give it to someone, like, either give it to Gunther, or give it to what's his name, Gable, Chad Gable.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, give it to who else would people? Right, give it to LA Knight.
Look, you know what, Knight, I think right now is another one. He don't actually need a Rumble win.
No, isn't he? He's so over, stupid.
And you know what, to me, that's another smile in the face, because I remember LA Knight from the days of Eli Drake.
Idiot! Yeah!
And you know, when we were at SmackDown at the O2, the eruption.
Oh, the pop was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I thought, yeah, you've done it now. Yeah, I'm happy. And you know, he's just blowing up, and you know, he's gonna get gold at some point. He'll probably be the IC title, but he's doing numbers. But the last thing, I know time's against us, so I'm gonna make this one the final one a little small and quick. A massive shout has to go out to the Judgment Day.
Mm.
I think right now, as soon as that music drops, as soon as you hear that, you're thinking, oh God, who's going to get cussed this week? Yeah, because as great as that entity is, having JD McAnuff a part of it is working even more.
Mm.
Although, granted, someone's going to get booted out at some point sooner rather than later.
Priest is going face soon.
It's
going
to be Priest, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be Priest, there's no doubt. That group is just getting higher and higher, but let's be truthful. Would Judgment Day be that successful if Rhea wasn't a part of it?
Oh, God, no. Again, like, if it wasn't, okay, like, if it wasn't for Rhea and that match she had with Selena Vega way back in the day,
yeah,
when she pinned her dominantly, mm-hmm. like no, Judgment Day would be nothing, when Rhea started sporting her Judgment Day attire, that's when things changed. That's what I want to say.
Everything changed.
Because we all know I play Fortnite, because they did they introduced rest WWE skins, and they put, it was just for the women, so they had Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. They missed a fucking trick not doing Rhea. I wish they did, because I would have bought double of that. I would have bought for people I don't even like.
Wow,
that's how much I like. I wanted that skin. If that was Rhea Ripley skin. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. okay. I don't think we can get any higher after really the fantastic Rhea Ripley.
Do you feel me, sir? Do you feel me?
No.
on that note, I think we must draw the proceedings to a close. Thank you for that. That's a lot. And I know there's more that we've missed in this one, but we're going to obviously come back to it. But I guess we are still in the Trips era, right? This is still under Triple H, right?
Oh, yep, he is the head of creative.
Okay. This is good. I mean, after we've had the ups and downs, the thing we said we wanted to stay consistent was Trips. And so far, Mr. Triple H is providing the goods. So long may it continue. But on that note, because believe me, I think if we could go on and on about this. Again, so much to cover. So much happened. Thank you for your ears. Thank you for your time. Please, once again, reach out. Shout out to Man Like Keith listening. Who once again, bruv, the themes episodes keep coming up. It just keeps coming up.
Keith needs to understand that it's our choices, not his. Okay, we can choose we can choose what we want because it's our choices. We're not you, Keith. We understand that you missed out.
Everyone's got therapy. Everyone's just like, yes. But what about? Even though Keith did really like the Super Grand. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to season 3. And have a listen. And
we have our own opinions, Keith. All right, chill. Love you.
It's all love. Appreciate it. Appreciate it every time. Once again, you can reach out to us on Instagram at messeduppod. You can email us at stjudesadventures@gmail.com. And you can, I think also, we are still on Twitter, which is andmessed. If you want to have a look there. Bravo, what are your socials?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube on Instant Classic Gaming. And I messed up my order. I did that, so that's thrown me off completely. That's really has. And you can find me on Twitch on the Instant Classic _gaming. But it's YouTube _KB. Sorry, I did it in a complete wrong order. I threw me off. Big man, your turn.
After that, I'm a little bit more straightforward, I hope. You can find me at Mr._Roberts_V1 on Insta and on Twitter. You can find me at War3782.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Because you usually go big man, then you go main. That's what threw me off.
It's a lot. What can I say? It's been a weird week, and it's a lot of games to play. Oh my god, there's so many games out. We have to help a bit of Payday 3, guys. I can't wait for Big Ben to fumble that heist.
Leave him alone. He might be better than all we realize.
This is true. Anyway, thank you for your time and your ears. Take care of yourselves out there. And we'll see you out there later on.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.